Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray.
I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
One more time.
I believe in God.
Let's close your eyes with your hands lifted up as we declare what we believe in this morning.
Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, when we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in life eternal.
In the virgin birth, I believe in the saints' communion, and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, 'cause I believe you rose again. 'Cause I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Oh, I believe.
I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in God the Father. I believe in.
Come on, let me hear your voice this morning as we declare.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
For I believe in the name.
Father, in Jesus' name, that's what we declare this morning. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We know we will rise again, even though we die or even though we sleep. Let this belief take us on this journey of faith. And we end in heaven. May none of us, oh God, fall by the side of the road. Even as we've gathered this morning, Lord, I pray, you will speak to us, affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? You may please be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing it is to be in church this morning, isn't it? You're welcome. This is where we believe in God the Father Almighty. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we're looking at faith. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we're saying that you shouldn't come to church and leave annoyed. Anybody who comes to church and leave vexed, demons are working on you. Because if you look at it practically, there's nobody who came into the presence of God who left vexed. Gaskin, where's Gaskin? Gaskin, where's the gun I told you to give me? I have somebody to shoot right now. Hey, it's good to see you, officer. All right. So you don't go into the presence of the Lord and leave vexed. Can you tell the person sitting next to you? Can you tell him what I just said? Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say? You can't go into the presence of God and then leave annoyed. Well, I'm seeing some nice faces this morning, I tell you. So the anointing is flowing. Easy. Yeah, you can't go into God's presence. Don't ever do that. Don't allow yourself to leave God's presence without that blessing, that lightness, that joy, and that peace that only God gives and God brings. Are you with me? So we're looking at faith. Very, very briefly, a short service. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, Fred Price, a preacher in America, said something. He said that he believes that one of the most important things that every Christian should know when they get saved is faith. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 says it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 says it. It says that the just shall live by faith. It means that in other words, the Christian shall only live by his faith. Now, the just shall live by faith. Which means that every Christian can only live the Christian life by faith. So, if we can insert Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 into Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, then the Bible, or if we insert Hebrews 11, 1 into Hebrews 10, 38, then the Bible is saying that now the Christian shall live by the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Because faith is defined as the substance of the things you hope for. We have learned that hope is nothing if it doesn't have substance. Oh, I hope. But the hope must become reality. The hope must come true for you. Otherwise, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you have hope on something that doesn't come to pass, it breaks your heart. You get it? Many people travel, they move abroad, thinking that once they go abroad, things are going to be easy, only for their heart to be broken. Many people marry their high school sweethearts, thinking that everything is like high school, and they realize that life is not like high school and the heart is broken. Hope deferred. Anytime hope is affected, it affects your heart. And that is why hope alone cannot help you live your Christian life. You need substance to add to the hope, which is going to result in faith. The Christian shall live by his faith. And if anybody draw back, meaning that if anybody leaves the faith and begins to live by something else, the Bible says that God will have no pleasure in them. It's the same scripture in Hebrews 11 says that the Bible says that it is impossible, what? It is without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because he that cometh to him must believe that he is. He is. I mean, you and I, as we have come here, we must believe that you have not just come to some African man. I don't know how you call me. Whatever you call me. Some church. You have come into the presence of the Lord. That is what must happen to you. It is so interesting that we have a certain mentality as Guyanese. You see, and that mentality fights even our Christian faith. Because when you go to church, you are looking at people. When you go to church, you are looking at a pastor. When you go to church, you are looking at the place. But when you go to church, you are actually gone into the presence of God. And the only person that matters is God himself. Do you get it? That's the only person who matters. Yeah. And you must believe that if God is happy with you, then you don't care whatever anybody says. Are you with me? As long as God is okay with you, everybody else can drop dead. I said everybody else can go to hell. As long as God is happy with you. And you must come to the point where you know in your heart that God loves me. Yeah, you must believe that. God loves me. And because God loves me, I don't really mind what my neighbor says. My neighbor can throw hints. My neighbor can cuss. My neighbor can make noise. I don't care. Because all that I care is that God loves me. Hallelujah. So, we want to study faith. And last week we spoke about the fact that faith requires action. That you can't have faith and sit down. Faith must act, must move. This morning, briefly, I want to look at the fact that faith is acting on your belief. Faith is acting on your belief. We go to Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Are you still around? Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. Hakim. Wow. They release you. He doesn't know it's him I'm talking about. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Let's take it from verse 24. It's a little clearer from there. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 14. Go up. 20. Let's get a story properly so we can understand it. Let's go to 20. Okay, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. This is the feeding the 5,000. You go on to verse 22. The Bible says that. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the Bible says in verse 25, that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You see, on the fourth watch, the third watch is what? What's the third watch? You know the third watch. You should go and read your Bible. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, this is late in the night. You're on the sea. Waves tossing you up and down. And then you see a white something on the water, walking on the sea, coming towards you. I mean. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. It is a jombi. It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And the Bible says, but straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, if it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. You see, apart from Jesus, the only guy who walked on the sea was Peter. So in fact, you can't joke with Peter at all. You can say he denied Jesus 3 times, but even out of the denial, he has walked on the water. What have you done to criticize Peter? He has walked on the water before. Do you get it? Now, we are trying to analyze this story with Peter and Jesus, and we are trying to support this scripture with what I'm saying, the title of my message this morning, that faith is acting on what you believe. Faith is to act. You can't you can't have faith and not act on it. Now remember, faith is not just faith and acting. It's faith is belief and acting. Faith is acting on your belief. One of the hopeless things in life is not to have something to believe in. Patricia, are you there? Wow. You must have something to believe in. Some people believe in love. Love is a good thing to believe in. Yeah. But people like Tina Tina, they don't believe in love. Yeah, because they say, what's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart? Put in a pump rather than a heart. But a heart can be broken. Hey! When your heart breaks, you sing songs. A lot of the songs you listen to, they are broken-hearted people singing songs. So they minister broken-heartedness to you also. Heartbreak Hotel. Yeah. Son, how does it go?
I don't know.
Why you bring the song up when you don't know how to sing it? You must believe something. You must believe something. Believe is the foundation of life. If you live your life without any belief, you have not started even life. Because you must have something that, you know, you are so convinced and you are so, impressed about. If you don't have that, you can't start life. That's why in Christianity, you must have a belief. And the belief is that we believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. You see, so the thing that many people do, like these young boys who are being lured into Islam, they become Muslims. If you ask them, what do you believe? They can't tell you anything. What is in Islam that you believe? In the 7 wives that you can have? You don't need to go to Islam to have 7 wives. You can have 7 wives. You don't need Islam to have. Oh, Brian, you need Islam to have 7 wives? No. We can take 7 if you like. Who said we cannot? So if you are a Muslim, what is the foundation of your faith in Islam? But in Christianity, we can say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our God, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, he died, and he was buried. Then he descended into hell. And on the 3rd day, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. That is what we believe. We believe that somebody came around here called Jesus, and he died on the cross for us. And because of the cross, my sins have been forgiven, and I have hope. Do you believe that tomorrow your life will be better? Some people don't believe that. Some people don't have hope at all. They don't have any belief. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe that, you know, my situation is temporal. That something good is going to happen to me tomorrow. I mean, sadness lasts for a while, but joy comes in the morning. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You must have a certain belief. Now, the belief can never materialize if you don't act on it. Because it is the belief or the belief plus the action that equals faith. Now, Peter said something. Peter said, verse 27, he said, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me. Can you give us a modern Creolese version? You have Creolese version? Yeah. Everyday English. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, call me or ask me to come unto thee on the water. Peter believed something. He believed that if that is Jesus, and if Jesus says, I should come, then it can work. But he didn't stay in the boat when Jesus said, come. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now you see here exactly Romans 10 and verse 17, where faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now Jesus had to just say, come. Now Peter believed that if Jesus says come, then it really can move it, it is true. But come, if Peter had not left the boat, his faith of walking on the water would not have been real. And what he was actually looking forward to would not have materialized. Because it is the faith that gives substance to your hope. Faith is the evidence of that which you have not seen. For that to come to pass, what you believe in, you must act on it. So Peter believed that if only Jesus, if it is Jesus and he calls me to come, and I can go. And when Jesus called him to come, he didn't stay, he went. And he walked on the water. So I said during the first service that, you see, the thing that you believe in is not, it's not around. You see, the car that you are believing to drive, where is it? If the car was here, you wouldn't believe anymore. You just drive it. So everything we believe in is abstract. It is not in our reach. But for it to come to our reach, action must be backed. Action must be added to the belief for faith to become real so that you get what you want. Are you with me? There's nobody in the Bible who needed something for Jesus, who believed in Jesus, who didn't act on it. Like the story we looked at last week. What was the story we looked at last week? The bedridden guy that day. They went to the house, they took the roof. I mean, can you believe that? Somebody's roof, it wasn't their roof, somebody's house. Jesus has gone into somebody's house to go and do something for the people. And then you believe so much in Jesus that they are not staying home. And that is our problem. Sometimes we have beliefs, we believe in things, but we don't act on the belief. Yeah. You can't believe in God and don't go to church. That's no belief. Yeah. Once you believe in God, you must go to church. Because that is what will substantiate, that is what will confirm, that's what will make your belief more evident, more strong. So anytime you stay home and say you believe in God, it's cheer. You know cheer? It's nonsense. It means nonsense. It means useless. You don't believe in God for nothing. Yeah, take your belief. Your belief is as good in your pocket. That's all. But your belief must turn into action. That I believe in this, and because I believe in it, that I go after it, I do it, and I want it. And that is what makes your faith now become real, and you can get what you want. I was talking to my leaders, and I was asking them, how many of you have driver's license? 99% didn't have driver's license. I said, look at you. Do you think you will drive one day? Or you think you get a car before you get a license? No, you must get a license before you drive. Sister Nichelle is smiling. I don't know why she's smiling. You can't believe that, you know, one day I'll drive a car when you have not even started to go and get the package and get a provisional. Now, do you think God will give a car to somebody who doesn't have a license? What kind of God is that who is breaking the law? He's a lawbreaker. He gives vehicles to unlicensed drivers. No, but God is not like that. Coletta, God is not like that. So if you want to drive, don't sit down and say, you know what, man, I'll drive one day. No, you should go and get your driver's license. Join the line. Go and join the line. So that when you have a driver's license, then you can tell God, God, what is the use of a driver's license without a car? You have to come through for me now because
I have all the skills. Then you have a case. I said, then you have a case. But you don't have a driver's license. And you are going for miracle services for her vehicle. And there are some of us pastors who also just pray for you without even asking you what you want. You want to drive a vehicle? You have a license? No. Out. Now, one day, somebody went to a pastor and he told him that he wants to travel abroad. He should pray for him. So the pastor was smart. So the pastor said, do you have a passport? He said, no. He said, no, go. Go away. Go away. I thought you have the belief that you travel. Anybody who has a belief in something, they do something about it. Yeah, they do something about it. Yeah. You can't go to housing and quarrel for a house lot when you have not applied for it. You have not gone for an interview for a house lot. It is on that basis you have the interview or not that you can say, you know what, I have registered for a long time, but you people, you ain't calling me. That's why you have some grounds. But if you go and make noise at housing right now without an application, the people say, you're mad. God is not a magician. I said, God is not a magician. Certain things must fall into place. Like if you believe God to have a child, let's say you are struggling to have a child, you're believing God to have a child, you must.
You must step up your activities.
You must step up your activities. Like Pastor Isan. Yeah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you something. Sit down. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you something. Verse 5. Let me show you something and I will close. Joel, you have not been coming to church. Give me the one with Sarah. I want to look at the one with Sarah. Anybody call Sarah here? Sarah is a good name. So change your name to Sarah. Which one is that? 8, 9, 10, somewhere there. Very quickly. Sarah, we're going to see what happened to Sarah. Just now. 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him who had been made. Give me King James. I like King James. Why is it this one? I'm trying to hide what I want to show you. King James. Aha. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That the person who said, you have a child, she believed it. You think that she believed it and then she was sleeping in one room and Abraham was sleeping in one room? No, that was what happened. Because God is a God of miracles. Anything can happen, no? Oh, but the virgin gave birth without. So Sarah too could have believed that, it's possible. No. The Bible said she received strength. It means that as old as she was, she could not be lifting up her legs, but this time leg lifting came into place. I don't know if somebody is listening to what I'm trying to say. Your belief must come with action. Faith is acting on what you believe. So definitely Sarah. You see, the Bible does not say all of that. Otherwise, we won't be able to read it. But for Sarah to receive strength to conceive and bear a child at that age, let me tell you, Granny was doing things. I said Granny was doing things. Yeah. Granny was dancing. Yeah. Granny. He told Abraham, brother, you better sit up. Because I believe in what God has told me. And I know that it cannot just happen unless we get to the job. Unless we get to the job. So you see, her belief
and the action after believing is what actually brought the child into play. Now, whatever you believe in, whatever you're expecting, you have to add action. If you are believing God to marry, you should start buying plates and spoons and cups. Yeah. Now you should write it down. You should start buying pots and pans. Because what are you going cooking when they marry you now? You waiting for Munushuas, here we come. Are you going to wait for the wedding for people to present you pots and pans? No. You must buy pots and pans now. Yeah. Bed sheets. Yeah. And say, this is what we will lie on Monday. This is for Tuesday. You don't have a bed sheet. You can't cook. You wait. You looking for a husband? So you have to now step up your activity. If you believe that God is able to give you a husband, then you must act on that belief. You must dress nicely. Yeah. Smile. Because men don't like women, moody faces, moody women. Yeah. You know our problem? Our problem is that we know God is able to do everything, so we just relax that he will do it. That's not how it works. Jesus could not have pulled Peter out of the boat. Peter had to walk out himself by what he believed. The woman with the issue of blood had to go into the crowd because she believed she could have just stayed where she was and believed that she would be well. No, she believed that not only do I believe, but I have to touch him for the whole belief to become complete. And she made her way to go and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You must believe, you must act on what you believe. That's what faith is about. If you can't do that, the evidence of the things you don't see, you don't have that evidence. And you see, our Christian lives are not different from those who don't come to church. Because what we are supposed to live by, which is faith, we don't live by faith. We walk by sight. If I can't see, I'll not believe. Even up to the church. If you read Acts chapter 3, I read it this morning. They went to take the guy who was lame from his mother's womb. They went to place him at the temple's gate. Because they know church people give money all the time. But you see, these church people, do they give money? I said, these church people, do they give money? There's no... Because in those days, they knew that as for church, anybody going to church is somebody who is generous. But these days, generous people don't come to church anymore. Businessmen are even more generous than Christians. Because we don't believe in anything anymore. We don't believe in the fact that if you give, it shall be given back unto you. We don't believe in that. We believe that the more you keep, the more you become rich. But that's not how Christianity is about. Act on what you believe. Faith is acting on what you believe. So what do you believe in? Let there be an action about what you believe in. And God is going to do great things for you. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.